Hello, hello. I'm Malik.
I'm Jamie.
And this is World Gone Wrong, where we discuss the unprecedented times we're living through.
Can your manager still schedule you for night shifts after that werewolf bit you?
My ex-boyfriend was replaced by an alien body snatcher, but I think I like him better now.
Who is this dude showing up in everyone's old pictures?
My friend says the sewer alligators are reading maps now.
When did the kudzu start making that humming sound?
We are just your normal millennial roommates processing our feelings about a chaotic world in front of some microphones.
World Gone Wrong, a new fiction podcast from Audacious Machine Creative, creators of Unwell, a Midwestern Gothic mystery. Learn more at audaciousmachinecreative.com.
Find World Gone Wrong in all the regular places you find podcasts.
I love you so much. I mean, you could like up the energy a little
you
bit.
You could up the energy.
I actually don't take notes.
That was good.
I'm just kidding. You sounded great.
So did you.
People of Earth, the following podcast is not real. It gets worse. This episode was recorded at the City Winery in New York City on July 20th. So you'll have the privilege of hearing an audience realize in real time that this isn't a live taping of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. But Steve Waltine is in this one, which might just be the hook to keep you listening, or the final death knell to make you finally return to physical media. You'll never guess which one I'm rooting for. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello from the Magic Tavern. A weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, let's dig into that a little bit. By like a half-hearted woo sound, if you have never listened to a second of Hello from the Magic Tavern, maybe you were dragged here by a loved one. Maybe you were just near City Winery and ducked your head in. So if you have never listened to a second of the podcast, make some noise. All right, even right up front, all right. If you've listened maybe too much, make some noise. I was going to say I love you all equally, but actually that's not true. That's not true. But I am open to loving you all in the same way. Yeah, it's a two-way street. Because some of, you know, the people who have never listened to any of this might walk away from this being like, that was the right amount. But for those of you unfamiliar with the story, this is truly everything you need to know. 10 years ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, against all reason, I'm still getting a slight Wi-Fi signal through the dimensional rift, and I use that to upload a podcast from the magical land of Foon. And we've traveled a little bit in the run of this show. Mostly we've hung out in two or three different taverns, the Vermilion Minotaur, the Ruffled Feather, the Strange Familiar, the Wanderlost, thank you. Please, to a respectable degree, feel free to just subtly let me in on canonical things I've forgotten. Like, don't go crazy with it. That was the right amount of kind of like, the Wanderlost. That said, tonight, we are in a tavern we've never been in before. And I've heard it has a strange name, but I don't know what that name is. It's the something. And I'm going to go ahead and ask this person who has never heard the show before, what is the name of this tavern? The
Flogging Pig.
The Flogging Pig. Are you sure you've never heard of the show before? Because that sounds really right. So tonight, I'm recording from the Flogging Pig, where we all are together. And with me, my co-host, my good bud, Chunt the Talking Badger.
Are there any babies here tonight? Just one?
Sorry, I'm running a little late, Arnie. I was flogging my pig.
Oh.
Is that the name? The Flogging Pig?
Yes, we are at the tavern, the Flogging Pig.
Of course, I carry this with me wherever I go.
Sure, of course. You stole this sign from the Vermilion Minotaur, and wherever you go, you put it up.
That's right.
So you ask people, who here's a baby?
Yeah, it's always nice to just check a crowd to see who a BB is, you know.
But in your, I'm sure it's subjective, but in your opinion, what makes someone a baby and not a baby?
What were the two options?
Baby or too baby or not too baby? That's the question.
Yeah, I think a baby is like a newborn creature or human.
Okay.
Typically, they shit and piss all over the place.
Sure, sure.
They need help being fed.
Mm-hmm.
They can't speak.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not ambulatory. And a baby is all those things still, but they love Chunt.
Oh.
And they could be any age. They could be grown adults who shit and piss all over the place.
Oh, sure.
And who need help being fed. It gets kinky.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we have some number of incontinent guests in the tavern tonight, is what you're saying.
I think that's fair to say. Can I ask, what's the difference between an Arnie and an Arnie?
That's a good question. I think an Arnie is, you know, probably from the Midwest, you know, has a unique enough name that they're annoyed if they run into someone else that has the same name.
Sure. What about same shirt?
Same shirt.
Yeah, are you annoyed if you see someone in a pink polo?
Looking around the tavern, have I become a bit of a trendsetter in the world of Foon? Because pink has really become more of a popular color. I'm definitely seeing some pink and, if I'm being honest, pink adjacent polos in the crowd.
The Pink Polo Club, people are joining.
Yeah, the Pink Polo Club.
Yeah. You want to sing a little song?
No.
Oh, and Arnie, I forgot to mention my cousins here.
Yeah, here's my question. I looking near the front, I was like, is that a badger? Or the sort of darker interpretation is that someone has decapitated a badger.
Oh, no.
And is wearing their head. Uh-oh, they're pulling their hood over their badger head to hide all evidence of their crimes.
Oh, my cousin Glenn. Oh, no. I haven't heard from him in a dog's age. Which in Foon, a dog's age is 12. Where's Usador?
Oh, yes. I am also joined. I always forget he exists. I am also joined by my other co-host, Usador the Wizard.
Hi, I'm Usador. Wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as Fiang Yalak. The dwarves know me as Jonan and Hugstengis. And I am known throughout the northeast as Gaswanius Maestar. And I have been today to the Foggin' Pig. To the Frog and Pig. Before I came here to the correct tavern.
The Flogging Pig?
Flogging.
The Flogging
Pig. Is that
pig.
The tavern? The Flogging Pig?
So the Fog and Pig is a chain.
The Flogging Pig.
The Flogging Pig.
Yes.
Jesus. Also, roast.
Also, before we get past it, I don't know this for certain, but I feel like this is probably not the first time a bunch of people have yelled Hoobastank in this room.
Not. I don't want to panic anyone.
What?
Do the stars seem lower than... Obviously, this is an open-air tavern, which I appreciate. Do the stars seem a little lower than usual?
Yes, this is a thing I've been working on, where I've been trying to bring the stars closer to Foon. So I cast a spell. I said, twinkle, twinkle, little star. You are far away, far too far. Come closer here now to Foon and over all of us with your star power loom. So if they get any closer, they'll probably, like, burn us right up.
Huh. Arnie, don't you always say that you're trying to bring star power closer to Foon?
Yes. I can only bring so much star power myself. I'm from another world, so that makes me kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, who are some of the biggest stars in Foon that we should get on the podcast?
Ooh, that's a great question. Usador's pretty popular.
Thank you.
Wait, hold on. Is that, like, the ceiling? No offense.
I mean, I'm no Goose Springsteen.
Goose.
Goose.
And Arnie, that's not people booing. That's people saying goose.
Oh, they love Goose Springsteen. I heard his nickname is the Goss.
That's right.
Oh. Hardest working goose in show business.
Well, who said that?
I don't know. That's just what I say.
Oh, no, no, no. I would say Mama Goose is the hardest working goose in show business. Mama Goose is a burlesque dancer.
Okay. I'm just...
Arnie, don't just picture Mama Goose in your head.
No, I'm...
Disgusting, pervert.
It's a burlesque dancer. I'm just trying to think what goes where, what's covering what.
Let's just say the feathers hide nothing.
Bald goose?
Huh?
Bald goose? Plucked?
Huh? Bald goose plucked?
That's my review.
Bald goose plucked.
Bald?
Bald.
Yes.
What's wrong with our ears today?
What has happened to us?
Well, now that I've brought the stars here closer to Foon, the night shall be much brighter, and evil will have nowhere to hide from me. I will ensure that evil is destroyed here in Foon by lighting up the night sky with the power of stars. My plans are all finally coming to fruition. And then, once evil is vanquished, I shall send the stars back up into the sky, and sailors will stop crashing their ships against rocks. Nobody can navigate right now.
Yeah.
The seas are a total mess. I didn't even think about that.
It's a real shit show. A lot of guys are seeing manatees and saying they're mermaids. It's really gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much sailor death.
So much sailor death.
Oh, the people that are usually below deck are on the top deck, and the people on the top deck went below deck. Everything's topsy-turvy. It's crazy out there. What I'm saying is I wouldn't take a ship right now. I would stay off of a big ship. Just be careful with that.
And I'm having a little trouble hearing Arnie. He said,
I think I heard the same thing.
If you feel the need to take a big ship right now, hold on to that feeling and wait to take the big ship. Sure, you're going to feel a little backed up. You got places to go.
Sure.
But do not take a big ship.
What are your thoughts on a vacation ship? I said it too clearly. I could just tell it sounded like ship.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on board with a vacation ship. You know, sure. I think it's nice to not have to plan your pilgrimage, your journey, to not have to sort of worry about a bindle full of snacks or a map.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, I love a map though. So fun to put a little dashed line along where you're headed. And then to put a big X where you're trying to go. And then when you encounter a sea serpent, you can draw the sea serpent right onto the map. And then you can put, if there are treasures on there, you can put little chests where the treasures are. Mm. Oh, I love a map.
Weren't you once on a map quest?
I was on a map quest, but then I found my ways.
Yeah. And Arnie, didn't you spend like a year and a half of your life
on Earth on a vacation ship?
Yeah.
Performing improv?
Yes. People might not know this, but I have some experience doing improv. It all disappeared from my brain long ago, but I did spend time working on a cruise ship a long time ago.
And how was that?
Fine. It was fine.
Yeah.
Serving drinks or...
Were there drinks?
Were you serving drinks?
No, I was performing. Thank you, everyone, except for that one person. I don't want to focus on the fact that one person is like, he performed. The fact that everybody else was like, yeah, I'll let that one slide.
So you'd go out and you'd do like a tight five. Can we hear your tight five?
You know what, Usador? Normally I would. You know me. I love doing a tight five, but...
I know it. That's why I've set you up to do so right now.
Unfortunately, and I feel like I should just say this because I don't want... I feel like I don't want it to affect the show
too much.
Oh, no. You're dying.
You're dying. Everyone already is dying. Oh.
No, I'm not. I'm not dying. I'm just saying I'm a little...
Oh, the first stage is denial.
Stop saying...
Second stage is anger.
Fuck. I don't even know why you would think that I'm dying.
You think I know the rest of the stages?
Confusion. Confusion. I was setting you up for confusion. But I've accepted that you don't know all of them. But no, I'm just a little bit sad. It's weird. Just a little bit sad because I'm missing old friends. I mean, we've been doing this show for... over 10 years.
That can't be right.
It's true.
Oh, but Arnie, I don't want you to be sad. What could bring joy back into your life?
Well, it's complicated. I mean, I keep thinking...
Great movie.
I keep thinking about, like, you know, you were my first two friends in Foon.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, like, my second friend in Foon was, like, Tom Blaine Belleroth, but...
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know how life is. Your life takes you on different paths, and you know, I don't want to get too spoilery about it because I just have a feeling that not everybody here is caught up.
Well, Tom Blaine was our very first guest, right?
He was our very first guest, and I consider him a dear friend, and I'm just sad that now I don't know.
He's trying to kill you.
He is trying to kill me. I don't know. I just miss the Tom Blaine Belleroth I used to know, you know.
No problem. I shall gladly summon a Tom Blaine Belleroth from the past. One from before the time that he wanted to kill you. I shall pluck my very thumb into the pie of time and pull out a plum called Tom.
What
have fuck? You notice how nursery rhyme based Usador
so
spells
nursery
are
nursery rhyme based. Earlier, I caught him sleeping in a big shoe. It was insane. Also, around the shoe, there was a fence made of sticks, fence made of hay,
yeah.
And a straw. We call hay straw sometimes,
sure.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a fence made of brick. It was a real shit show.
Sure,
yeah.
Quiet your minds. Everyone in the tavern, listen to me now. We here at the Flogging Pig, not the Frog and Pig, not the Fog and Pig, the Flogging Pig?
The Flogging Pig.
We here at the Flogging Pig must concentrate. We must steady our minds. We must each focus. Remember a time before now, where Tom did love us all equally. He did not want to murder Arnie, nor Chunt, nor Usador. We shall reach backwards into time. And we shall, from the depths of those temporal ebbs and flows, pull forth our dear friend, Tom Blaine!
Good evening! Good evening and... good night to thee. Good evening. Good evening and good night to thee. As Prince of the Realm, it is my solemn duty to knight those that I do deem worthy. Good
Wait,
evening.
Who is that? No, I was doing a spell.
No.
Shut up.
Yes. Good night to thee. Yes. Good night unto thee. Mustard and ketchup.
This asshole's ruining my spell.
Wait, Euthnor.
Very much on theme. Good night. Good evening. Good evening. Good night. Good, no. Good evening. Good evening. Yes. Good night. Good evening. Yes. Oh, unto thee.
Arnie.
And good night.
Yes.
Good night unto thee. Good evening. Yes.
Knights.
Good evening. Okay.
Oh,
I don't
no.
think so. Possibly. Yes. Good night. Yes.
He's
good evening unto
everyone.
Thee. Yes. Oh, very nice. A witch. Witches can be knights too. They
Witches
love
can
the
be
night.
Knights?
Yes. Wow. Good evening. Oh, lovely hair. Yes. Definitely. Good night unto thee. Ah. Well, who is it at the pig fucker? Indeed! My good friends! Who would have thought that you would be here at the fucking pig?
Tomlane, your majesty.
Unto thee. Yes!
I would bow, but over the years the shirt has gotten a little too tight.
My good friends. I don't need to say good friends because it's unrealistic that we wouldn't be friends. Come. Ah, the Vermilion Minotaur. No, the fucking pig.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Yes. Do you mind if I place my royal sword here?
Please, please.
Oh, perfect.
I can't believe that you said...
Arnie, to sit before the king is a great insult.
Oh, Arnie, stand up.
Oh, what king?
Oh.
The prince.
I'm sorry, the prince.
Is my father
prince.
Here?
No, I'm sorry, no. The prince.
Oh, I just love having a living father.
No.
Let's have a seat.
Yes. All right, I'm starting to triangulate exactly which season you're from.
I'm very quickly.
Yes.
Under here, under the table.
This is good, because even though our voices are being projected everywhere, we can still have a secret conversation.
I know what you're going to say. Holy shit, we need to do more crowd work. Him going through the crowd was awesome.
That was yes. pretty good. No, we must be very careful not to spoil any of Tom Blaine's future. You must speak to him as if he is from the time he is. Do not let him know of the future.
Hold on.
I was spinning and saying future.
Sorry.
We can't
sorry.
Tell him anything about his future, even things that would be helpful for him to know, like about the Libyans.
Did you get that?
The Libyans?
It's all right. I don't care if you heard it. Some of you did.
No, because it could alter our own timelines drastically. And if we did that, Chunt might have a robot arm.
Whoa.
Future.
Why is he spinning?
Arnie, remind me to ask you sort of turn back time so my cousin Glenn is still alive.
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
Still dead.
You know, it might be fun.
What?
A game of OSOWC. Accurate speculations of what's to come.
Oh.
Just for a little bit of a laugh.
Curses. Yes, what
Ooh,
a fun
curses.
Game.
Curses. Yes, I bet they'll come.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
Of course, Your Majesty, whatever you like. Any game you want to play, we're happy to play along with you.
Sure. So how does this game work? We just
accurately speculate about what might be coming down our future paths.
Okay,
I'll go first.
Okay, but I did say we're going down paths, but you know that that's not how time works. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
I believe that in the future, Usador will become even more powerful... Arnie will be...
Sorry, I'm just looking at some people who are just not getting enough of my face.
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah, sorry, I was just in the middle of predicting the future. No, Arnie, yeah, no.
Okay, I predict in the future there will be a way for my ADHD medication to be delivered to Foon. I'm so sorry, Chen. What was your prediction?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It was just... Nothing important, just predicting the future. You go.
I just did. Come on, buddy.
No, Arnie, you go.
Okay.
I didn't know that you had ADHD. It's very difficult when you need to take a ship and you realize that you have a diarrhea, huge diarrhea. Because there are times when I think, why can't I focus? Oh, I've got ADHD.
Yes, yes.
Because sometimes I eat things that give me ADHD. And I'm thinking, oh, that was delicious going in, but I've got an ADHD right now.
Yes.
And I simply can't focus.
And I'm so happy that the acronym council is including articles like A now.
Oh, yes.
It's much better. It works much better.
Mm-hmm.
A diarrhea, comma, huge diarrhea.
Yes. It's A period D, comma, H period D period.
You know what? Call me old-fashioned, but I prefer the days when you just said, I got the D.
Yeah, no, that's true. It was nice to have the D.
Yeah. are there parameters, Usador, that I should definitely try to follow or not follow in this game?
Use your best judgment about predicting the future in a way that would not affect your future. No reason.
All right, well, I predict that I will be really good friends with everyone in this part of the tavern for the rest of my life. Even the ones I seem to have pissed off in the last 2 minutes.
That's sort of an easy one, don't you think? Oh. Like when you predict something like, I bet one of the five suns will rise tomorrow. You know, I think we all know that's going to happen.
That's
what
true.
Could possibly sunder the bonds that we do hold?
Why don't you do a prediction then?
Okay. Let's see. I think that next year I will do a play where I inhabit the characters of ghosts,
ooh.
Ooh.
But also living people. And the ghosts will have love scenes with the living people.
Wow.
And it will be very realistic. And this is sort of a writing exercise for me, too.
Okay, yeah. And when Tom Blaine, have you written a new play?
I'm so glad you asked. I've written a play called The Ghost Fucker. And
okay.
It's about...
He's back.
Yeah, sorry. So, Ghost Fucker, I'm in.
Yes. And can I ask, I don't want you necessarily to spoil the play,
no.
But will you be playing the titular fucker?
Yes. I'll fuck titularly. And
oh, and don't just talk about it. Could we meet the fuckers?
Well, the play concerns an elderly couple.
Okay. You're losing me.
And they buy a house to retire in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a twist about this house.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's not haunted.
Oh.
And they wanted a haunted one.
Oh.
Because they like the companionship of ghosts. So they go on a killing spree.
Mm.
They invite people to their house to kill them there,
uh-huh.
So that they can haunt it. Well, it doesn't work.
Oh, no.
End part one.
What a cliffhanger.
In part one, I simply must know what happens next.
I'm glad you asked. There's a second part.
Excellent.
So, we opened in the second part. 10 years have gone by. The couple is dead.
That's a lot that's happened during the intermission.
Well, yes. There's offstage action as well as onstage action. And part of the fun is when you're the audience, you're coming back and you're putting the pieces together. Wait a minute. Those people used to be alive. Are they not alive anymore? But I didn't see that part. Shut up, Mildred. It happened offstage. Well, you can't blame me. I can't follow the theater. Well, maybe you should be smarter. So we come back and the couple is dead. So The twist, of course, now is they created all these ghosts.
Yes.
But now they're ghosts too.
Whoa.
So these ghosts that are living in the house, they were killed by the main couple, right. You see? But now the main couple is also ghosts. I don't know if you've ever killed someone and then become a ghost.
Yes.
And had to live in the same... Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's not very welcoming.
No.
Right? So there's a... We start off part two with a great deal of conflict. Uh-huh. How are they going to fit in with the ghosts of the people that they murdered? End part two.
Oh. Whoa.
Wow. What an unsatisfying conclusion.
It makes you want to see the third one.
There's a third one?
But you're not going to like it. It takes place on an island unrelated to anything we've seen before.
What the fuck?
All right. I know. I'm following.
Okay. Well, you shouldn't be.
I'm not following, but I'm interested.
You're not following in the way you're not supposed to be following. Okay.
Exactly.
So there's this island, seemingly unrelated to everything we've seen before. We as the audience don't know why we're seeing what we're seeing, and if it is indeed related, but we know it must be related because it's called part three of something we've seen two parts of.
Sure.
So on the island, there's a dispute between an ice cream maker and his best friend.
Oh,
I knew it. No, I didn't. I just wanted to sound like I knew.
Well, it is a trope.
Well, that's true.
Yes. So you're watching this and you're like, this is part three of the ghost thing, but oh, I get it. They're doing an ice cream maker fights his friend story.
Right.
Which is sort of, have you ever seen the thing where they break down there's only like 36 stories that have ever been told?
Right.
And one of them is, I make ice cream, but I don't get along with my friend. Yeah. So that's happening on the island, and there's quite a bit of drama. Because one is in love with the other one's wife. But he doesn't know it's his wife, you see. So...
Wait, who doesn't know?
The husband doesn't know it's his wife?
That's part of what the audience is trying to figure out.
Oh.
It becomes clear that someone doesn't know who their wife is.
Okay.
And you because it's an island, uh-huh. It must be someone on the island.
Obviously.
Right?
Yes.
And you're the whole time you're like, hey, he seems like he might not know who his wife is. But then in a different scene you'll be like, no, it's him who doesn't know. You know?
Right.
And it's not until the end that you realize who doesn't know who their wife is. It's the ice cream man's friend, end part three.
Oh.
I've forgotten about I've forgotten all about the elderly couple that became ghosts.
No, you haven't, because you just articulated them, and that's what's beautiful about the audience experience of this. People will be walking out saying, I've forgotten all about that thing. But by saying that, they're revealing that they're lying when they speak.
You're right.
Whoa.
And I think that's part of this, is it's an indictment of our own thoughts.
Wow.
As a playwright... The thing you most want to do is have someone at the end of the play stand up and tell a lie and realize it's a lie. And that's why art unzips our souls, shows us the inside of them,
yes.
And asks us, can you handle that?
This is the most powerful artistic statement I have ever heard, Your Majesty. You must produce this play as soon as possible.
This will change the cock-tickling community.
The what? Oh, yes. No, yes. Yes. The cock-ticklers. Yes. That's the theater group that I'm a part of.
Yes.
And thankfully, my father is still alive, so I am a prince who can simply produce these plays and occasionally knight people. I made a few knights here, like mustard and ketchup. And so that's really what I've been up to.
It's a wonderful prediction that you'll write this... have you already written the play, or are you predicting that this is the play you're going to write?
Well, I've got some ideas. Do you know what an outline is?
That's when someone dies and you draw around them.
Exactly. So I've drawn a picture of the outline of one of the ghosts that's killed in the first one.
Ah.
So that's kind of a starting place.
That's a good place to start?
Yes, I know what sort of the... perimeter of the body looks like, yes, of one of the characters in the first part of the first play.
It'll make them easier to cast.
I think so.
Just lay down. Do you fit in there?
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. Yes.
Tom Blaine, can I ask?
Yes.
In between Act 1 and Act 2, there were some stage directions that included the lines, "Shut up, Mildred, I wish you were smarter." Are you still with Mildred?
Oh, no, that was the person talking to their wife
In
the audience.
Yes.
Right, that they are watching the play, and that's sort of what they say out loud.
How do the audience know what their lines are?
A good playwright writes the lines for the actors on stage.
Okay.
A great playwright writes lines for the actors on stage that makes the people in the audience say things.
Whoa.
That they didn't know were written by the playwright.
Wow. So hypothetically, if someone in the audience were to say, "The strange familiar," that would be the sign of a great playwright.
Exactly. If that's what the playwright intended for them to say. Sometimes a bad playwright will write a play with lines for the people on stage, intending the audience to say certain lines in the audience, but they don't say the lines that they were supposed to say in the playwright's mind. And that's when a play will absolutely not win a tosser. That's when a play is dreadful.
Yes, I agreed. If the audience doesn't say the right things, then you know you failed. If you come out and you just for instance, say, listed off a bunch of your titles and names, and then people repeated things or yelled things back at you that weren't your names, but sounded sort of like your names, you would be a failure.
I take issue with that.
No, it's all right. Oh. I, as little Jack Horner, shall now sit in the corner.
Oh, he's going to sit in the corner, but watch out, there's a candlestick.
Oh, no. Damn that candlestick.
Oh, I thought he was going to jump over it.
I've been avoiding it all night, but now I cannot, for I've moved to the corner where it is. And yay, you are exactly right, Chunt. There is naught for me to do but to expunge myself o'er this very candle. Aye, to cast myself up into the sky. Or the candlestick onto the other side of it.
I think he might have ADHD.
I think so.
Hey, yeah. Usador, if you need to go do something in the back, you can go do it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Tom Blaine, that was amazing.
Wow.
It was almost as if, in real time, you wrote a script for Usador to get off stage to go shit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Tom, can I ask to step outside of the game for a second? You knighted, I don't know, about a third of the people in the tavern tonight. What should they expect for themselves in the future now that they are in your service?
Oh, that's a great question. It's a marvelous opportunity. What you want to do is scan the QR code on the way out of the tavern. That's a quest readiness code. Now, that will give you an access to a monthly subscription.
Okay.
Yes. Well, you will pay 30 coin to become a member of my Knights Society.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay. We meet at...
Night.
You've got it.
Night.
Yes, and I give advice and training and counseling, and then you possibly get an opportunity to meet with the king.
Whoa!
So,
that's pretty exciting. If I were to meet with the king, and let's say someone else is the king, just hypothetically.
Okay, pretty weird, but I'll go with it.
And that king became, well, less hospitable. In what way would you woo that king back to your side?
So you're saying someone else is the king.
Right.
But the king becomes less hospitable.
Yes.
Well, that's the kind of thing where you just have to summon a version of them from the past.
Yeah.
From when you liked them and they liked you.
Right. And then you ask them about an inhospitable king, and they would say...
that you'd have to summon a version of them from the past, from when you liked them and they liked you.
Okay.
It's very difficult.
Yes.
When people become enemies with their friends.
It is difficult.
Yes.
And it is mine hope that as a champion of justice that I shall fight to destroy evil in all its forms. But one of the worst evils is a broken friendship. And the only way to defeat that sort of evil is to mend those bridges, to grow those bonds back into place. I have a new mission, and my mission is to make...
This is dramatic tension. It's when someone starts a sentence. You can't end a sentence with make.
Yeah. And when he stood up, was that rising action?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Although, just to play devil's advocate, when he says, I've got to make, he might have ADHD.
That's true. He might be brewing an ADHD. Yes, ADHD.
Whoa, Tom Blaine, was that some sort of denouement?
Yes, yes. Yes, it was a denouement, which is French for a new day. And that's at the end of the play when a new day arises. Uh-huh. There's a new sun that comes up. And we wipe the slate.
Wow.
Wow. It's so good to have you back, Tom Blaine. It's
back from what? I'm always around. You know, I'm doing my show, a series of bats.
Yes.
Some of them have seen it.
Or heard it.
I can't see who it is.
Don't you also have a sort of body nighttime show called A Series of Butts?
Yeah, yes. It's very similar to the bat show,
sure.
But it's a dirty version where the bats have sex.
So, hold on. It's called A Series of Butts. Okay, I guess I can get there.
Well, all the bats are backwards.
Yes.
So you can see their butts.
Yeah, yes, right. But, you know, bats, what you don't know about bats' butts is they poop using sound.
Ooh.
They have no buttholes.
What?
They put out a high-pitched sound.
Are you saying they echo defecate?
Yes. Yes.
That sounds like a great show.
It sounds like a great show. Sorry.
Oh, yes, it's a wonderful show.
Not having a butthole, that's the saddest story. The saddest one-sentence story known to man. Bat turned around, no butthole. I have to assume. Arnie, unless you know of a sadder story that's one sentence.
Well,
on for my... sale, butthole. Wait, never mind, I've not got one. Because what's even sadder about that story... is in your story, the person already knows they don't have a butthole.
Yeah.
So that's quite sad.
Yes.
But at least it's known.
Yeah.
In my story, it comes as a surprise.
Yes, discovery.
And that's how you elevate a narrative.
Yeah.
Because the person who knew that they didn't have a butthole, at least they'd grappled with it. The person in my story is halfway through their sentence, assuming, as we all do, that they've got a butthole.
Yeah.
And what if you looked and no?
Whoa.
What about a shorter version that's just for sale butthole never pooped?
Whoa, Arnie! Arnie, you said back on Earth you were a creative writer.
Yeah, I have a creative writing MFA back on my world.
Wow.
I've done a lot of things that I don't seem to have retained the skills for.
No, that was great. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that. I like that one sentence story.
I was thinking of a similar story over here. They would go, baby shoes, for sale, baby's bigger.
Yeah.
It's very sad when babies grow.
Yes.
Because they're so cute.
They're so cute.
Yes.
And you imagine trying to put those shoes on them, their shoes don't fit, and you're like, gotta buy new shoes.
I have a sad story. It's baby shoes for sale, never worn. Baby born with wheels. You don't put shoes on wheels.
I think that's a happy story.
You're right. You're...
Some of the happiest moments are in a Foonish delivery room where the
Arnie, that's where we get our mail.
Yes. Oh. Mm-hmm. Someone
or
gets...
Or female. Or non-binary.
Sure.
Someone gets a package and in it is a baby.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they ask, well, you know, what is it? Right. And they say, well, it's a boy, but also it's got wheels.
You don't have to buy a stroller.
It's fantastic. And some of the happiest babies are the ones with legs and wheels. Because then they can sort of run and then pick up their legs. They get a speed sure. going. And then if they can balance, they pick up their legs and they go, wee.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do wheels have to run in the family?
Well, if you understand Foonish genetics, wheels can be recessive. So that
they
means
suck back in?
Exactly. The father may have wheels and just not know it because they've been recessed. And so oftentimes you will have a baby with wheels and you'll think, well, I don't have wheels. And then the doctor will go, should we check? Because you never thought to have to check. So we hold certain assumptions about ourselves. We do have a butthole. We don't have wheels. Uh-huh. And you can go through much of your life and then discover these things.
This could be really helpful. So, like, hypothetically, say, you know, you're a teenager or something and someone walks in on you while you're masturbating. You can say...
Arnie, you said hypothetically?
Hypothetically. Okay. You could just say, ha, 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 I'm just checking for wheels.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I knighted a 10-year-old in the crowd.
Oh, yes.
Arnie.
And it might have been my 10-year-old, so it's going to be quite a night.
Well, Arnie, I have to imagine that he's going to be yelling pickfucker all night long.
But let's not.
And let me say, that 10-year-old has permission to yell pickfucker.
No.
I don't want anyone to be worried about it.
So hypothetically.
Yes. Masturbation, which is a thing.
So if a 10-year-old just started saying pig fucker a lot at school, which they should not do, they would be like, where did you learn that? And they would say, at the city winery.
I just want to clarify, not only for this child, but everyone in the audience, nothing about what happens here is a permission slip.
Yes, that's a great
point. In fact, it might be more of a cautionary tale. Now, that said, let's check Arnie for wheels.
Hey, I appreciate your concern. I have thoroughly checked.
Can you stand up real quick, though, just in case?
Yeah, let's just do like a 10-point inspection.
Okay. You know I hate
just
standing.
Get under Arnie, you mind if we get under the hood here?
And there might be some back here you couldn't get to, you know? So let's really see. Yeah, get in there with a sword and
Arnie,
see what
we
got.
We're just gonna get under the hood here.
Gonna
all right, what do we got? What do we got? All right, you definitely got a leak here. Yeah, we're gonna have to rotate those.
Rotate those?
Yeah.
I'll get like a torsion or something.
I don't see any wheels.
I'm not getting any wheels. I poked his butt a few times, though.
No.
Your Majesty, I think it's time we came clean.
No. Oh, those are just the knights who say no.
I think it's time we came dirty.
And I think it's time we delayed our came until 7 or 8 hours later. Until you get a nice sting in your penis.
It's just that Arnie has been feeling lonely lately. You know, we are his two great boon companions, but you are right there amongst the pantheon of Arnie's greatest friends. Even though he is a lowly commoner, and you, Your Majesty, are so divinely appointed to sit upon a throne, we think of thee as one of our greatest and best friends.
Well, friendship is a great gift. You know the saddest story ever told.
Please tell me.
For sale, my friend's shoes, he died.
Oh no.
That's got everything. It tells you you had a friend.
Yes. And it's It's sad because the friend left you the shoes in his will, but you just turned around and sold them. But it's kind of a shitty friend.
But as you get older, you realize that it's not just death that leads people to not be friends anymore, and that's also sad. Like the sad tale, for sale, friend shoes, don't tell him.
Aww.
It's when you're profiting off of a friend in secret because you like them, but you think they have too much.
Yes, I suppose. I just thought, well, Tom Blaine, it's been so good to see you. For no reason at all, I want you to take this mystical rock from mine pouch.
Oh, that's a good reason.
Hold it tightly in thine hand and...
All right.
Think of returning home.
Okay.
To the time from where you belong.
So this time...
Return to the time where you belong. Return to the time where you belong.
He has so much of the audience to get through in reverse.
Oh, no, I just heard him say zip, zap, zop. Or maybe it was zop, zap, zip. Oh, they're all being unknighted. Ketchup and mustard. Not ketchup and mustard.
Oh, no. Oh, wait. I forgot. There's one more thing I want to ask him. Return to the present time. Return
good
to the present
evening.
Time.
Good night. And good night to thee. My duty is to knight people across Foon. Oh.
He's
good
starting
evening.
At the beginning.
Good night.
Arnie, Yusur, can you
mustard.
Freeze him? Can you freeze Tom Blaine?
Good night. Good
freeze!
Yeah, because look, when he did it the first time, I was like, I love good night and good luck, but do I really want to see it again?
I really have the urge to tag out Tom Blaine, take the sword, and like take the knighting in a new direction. Does that make sense? But if Tom Blaine keeps coming back in the direction he was earlier, right now, when he gets on stage, remember, we have to reenact the last 40 minutes exactly. Exactly. One slip-up could ruin everything.
But what if we placed a hypnotic suggestion within him?
Ooh, can we get a suggestion? Can we get a... Does anyone
have
a... Can we get a hypnotic suggestion? I heard boys' nights. I heard boys' nights.
Come to me, Tom Blaine Belleroth. Come to this time. Where the hell did he go? There he is. All right.
He's really...
Ooh, careful.
He's coming sword first.
Arnie always comes sword first.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm a gentleman. I say sword second.
Tom Blaine.
It is a boy's night.
Oh, he thinks he's a child knight.
I would like to slay the dragon, please.
Oh.
I am a boy's knight.
For sale, boy's sword, never sheathed?
Papa, can I slay the dragon?
Arnie, you be his dad. Arnie, be the dad.
Sure, be his dad.
Sure.
That's your dad. Go talk to your dad, Albay Melroth.
Hey, son.
Father.
Yes?
I'm glad you're alive and always will be. Oh. Can I slay the dragon?
You know what, son?
What?
You're going to be slaying all kinds of dragons your whole life.
Freeze.
Me?
Unfreeze.
I had an important lesson for you about how it's okay if you can't slay a dragon. But you know what? Just fucking kill that dragon.
I have a son of my own.
Oh, no.
Come here, son. I want you to meet this boy knight. Boy knight!
My name is Kid Dragon.
This is the moment I understood the world was complicated.
No, look.
My innocence is forever broken.
Little,
Life was fun, and now it's not.
No, I understand. I was there when I was your age. When I was your age, I got really frustrated by Double Dragon.
Dad, I have to go check and see if I have wheels.
My son's going to go masturbate, but when he's back, I would love for you two to play.
What? John Usador, I don't know. Like, is this really Tom Blaine or a conjuring of Tom Blaine? Are we, like, mucking around in his brain inappropriately, or...
Yeah, is this going to affect the Tom Blaine in the current timeline?
Well, I didn't want to spoil it before, but you can't really mess with time. So all the Tom that we met always experienced these things exactly as he did right now.
Okay, so what you're saying is, if someone's listening to the podcast and they skip the live shows, they'll still understand what's going on.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, I suppose. But Tom Blaine, Belleroth, do you recognize me? The great wizard Usador the Blue?
Gasmoenius, I've got a rock.
Yes, I gave that to you as a gift. I want you to keep it for all the rest of your days. And if ever you feel you've lost your way, just hold the rock and ask yourself an important question about what is most important.
An important question about importance.
Exactly. And what would the answer be if you held this rock in your hand and tried to remember what was most important to you right now?
Well, I've just learned a lesson about the world being incredibly complicated.
And so, even though it's complicated...
Great movie.
There is something that surpasses all the complications.
This is one of those lessons that feels Socratic, but you're definitely leading me somewhere.
All right, Smarty, then what is it?
Well, probably friendship or something like that.
Yes, exactly. Love, friendship, the bonds that tie us together. Don't forget these bonds, for they shall be there for you when all else is gone. Wealth, power, other things like a nice house or even food. Yeah, when you are at your lowest point and no one is there for you, your friends. Remember, you've got friends in low places.
Where the whiskey drowns
and the rest of it.
I release you now to the future, Tom Blaine Belleroth. Return from whence you came.
Careful on the steps. Careful on the steps. Usador, can you make the spell go faster, but still safely?
Sure. You want to talk for another 45 minutes or so?
You know, I never really, when he's talking forward, I never really noticed how many Z's he uses.
I think it's a subtle lisp.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Usador, you're a good friend. And when I say that, I'm not saying that in the passive-aggressive way.
Oh, finally.
Thank you for reminding me what a good friend Tom Blaine Belleroth was, and that hopefully we'll be good friends again someday.
Indeed.
And Chunt,
yeah,
you're a good friend. And I only slightly mean that in a passive-aggressive way.
That means the world to me.
And you know what?
Yeah?
Who knows what the future holds? Although, if I'm being honest, 10 years from now, things will be pretty much exactly the same. But even still, I'm going to enjoy this moment, knowing that we're here together right now. And I'm here with all of you, and you're all here together with each other.
At the...
Flogging pig? The flogging pig.
The flogging pig.
Yeah. Flogging pig. Flogging pig.
And Arnie, I think I speak for Usador and I when we say, you're a good friend.
Oh.
And you don't speak for me.
Yeah, right.
But you're a good friend.
We love you, buddy.
Aw.
This is our last show we're ever doing.
What?
Isn't it?
No.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. I wouldn't have said any of that then.
And Arnie?
Yeah?
Don't tell Usador.
He can hear you, but sure.
I've got wheels.
I've seen them.
That's our show!
Did you hear all that applause and laughter? A big thanks to our post-production department for making that sound so realistic. And special thanks to everyone working at the City Winery, New York, and all those who came out for the show. Especially the two audience members dressed as mustard and ketchup for reasons that were never adequately explained. Also, the woman from the meet and greet afterwards who shared pictures of her horse that she'd named Usador and made a horse-sized wizard costume for. So long, quiet nobility. Hopefully we'll share those pictures on social media at some point. Since we're largely the shirt podcast now, it's worth noting that every live show on the tour gets its own unique t-shirt inspired by that show. So if you want to get an I Stayed at the Flogging Pig shirt, check out our Dashery store. Also, if you listened to this and thought, I want to be trapped in a room with those people for 60 to 80 minutes, more live shows are coming up in Washington, D.C. on August 15th, Philadelphia on August 17th, Charlotte, North Carolina on September 27th, and where all good things end, Richmond, Virginia on September 28th. Links for shirt and tickets are all in the show notes. Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Chunt the Talking Badger was played by Adil Rafai. Tom Blaine Belleroth was played by special guest Steve Waltine. Steve is a Peabody Award-winning writer for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Hello from the Magic Tavern is an independent production, made possible by supporters of the Magic Tavern Patreon. Patrons get ad-free episodes, all the spin-offs, and at least two new bonus episodes each month. To learn more about supporting the show, visit patreon.com/magictavern. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Matt Young, and Adil Rafai. Post-production coordination by Garrett Schultz. Associate producer Anna Hoverman. This episode edited by Garrett Schultz. Hello from the Magic Tavern logo by Allard Leban. Magic Tavern theme by Andy Poland. Now, where is that form for submitting overtime hours? Oh yes, there isn't one.